Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon.
There's an introduction.
There's an introduction. I mean, I think I've forgotten how to do what I need to do. It's been, I think, end of November was my last program. So it's been a long time between visits.
It sure has. Did you have a nice Christmas and New Year?
I did. Yes, very, very well prepared for the year ahead.
Fantastic. And where are we going today?
Well, I'm going to get everyone to put a little thinking cap on and think outside the square about travelling to some of the destinations you may have thought exotic, but, oh, I don't know whether I'll ever get there, or just go beyond those boundaries and maybe try and include them in your itinerary to support some of these areas that don't get as many tourists as the major cities where we all look at structures and buildings and so on. But it's nice to immerse yourself, culture, history, food, and just watch the world live as it's always lived rather than being in the hustle and bustle all the time.
Mm, that sounds good. Okay, well, we'll get to that shortly. We're going to talk about undiscovered holiday destinations, really.
I guess so. Pretty much so for us anyway, I think, in our part of the world. The first area I'm going to talk about is off the east coast of Africa. And there's a plethora of islands off there that we don't often hear about or hear much about. Some we do. I think most people have heard about Madagascar because of the movies that have come out about it and the wonderful lemurs. Mm. I must admit it's on my bucket list. It's hard to believe that there's over 100 different species of lemurs.
What?
100.
Really?
And they're only found there. And they have dancing ones. And I've seen the photos. And they don't just walk, they dance. So these lemurs with their arms are up in the air, and that's the way they get around.
Wow, it's like the movie Madagascar.
So they actually do dance. It's not just the movies, it's true.
That's fantastic.
So they've got all these different sorts. Now, also, it's not just an island, it's a continent in its own right, and it's also the fourth biggest on Earth, mind you. So it's quite large. It's southeast of Mozambique and it's a population of about 29 million. Now, you don't think of that with an island continent to have that many people, more than us. Mm. So that's really hard to believe, isn't it? But it's called the Eighth Continent also because it has such unique biodiversity, pardon me, that's found nowhere else in the world. So that's why it is very, very spectacular. And, of course, it's well-renowned for those baobab trees. They've just got a plethora of them. They're everywhere. And there's one famous avenue where it's just all of those trees. It's just, you get incredible photographs and you often see them. They're wonderful. So that's one place you could go. And this is particularly, I guess, if you're going to the African continent, to not just go to the mainland, but consider that, let's go and do an island, which would be lovely and interesting, but a little bit more relaxing. If you've had a long safari or a long trip through either East or South Africa, this would be something nice to add on.
Sometimes you just need to have a bit of a rest.
To get you ready back for the real world back here. Mauritius, of course, we've all heard of Mauritius as well, and it's a magnificent potpourri of people because you've got Indian, African, French, European, it's all that colonial charm as well, but it's only got 1.3 million. So that's quite small by comparison. And, of course, it's very lush. It's got Port Louis as your main city there, and you've got all the wonderful different flavours of all the different foods and culture there as well. Beautiful diving if you're into diving, snorkeling, wonderful coral reefs, a real playground for that sort of area as well as their cultural history. The Seychelles, which are 115 islands, are there to the north of Madagascar. They're more for the rich and famous, should I say. Mm-hmm. It's not like a backpacker's paradise.
Right, so it's not cheap?
No, it's not cheap, but then again, look, depends
what
on
is these what, days?
It, what is, exactly. The population's a mere 100,000 scattered across the islands. Of course, not all of them are inhabited, but they're stunningly beautiful archipelago, and it's just really a side of Africa that you don't see much about. It's often rich people with a high per capita income and standards that compare with some of the European countries. So it's a high standard of living when you go there. Now, the Comoros Islands, they're a volcanic archipelago north of Madagascar. You've got three main islands and a bunch of smaller ones. Population about 880,000. It's a blend of African and Arab influences. But they've got the remains of volcanoes, lush rainforests and everything that you wouldn't find on a postcard.
Yeah, that
even.
Sounds
it's
really interesting.
It's stunning. And also in the Comoros area, there's another little island called Mayotte, which is technically a French territory, and it's wonderful as well there with a mix of French, African and Malagasy cultures. And, of course, Zanzibar. I love the sound of that name.
Zanzibar. There's a song. Billy Joel does a song about Zanzibar.
Oh, yeah, that's, and it's a Tanzanian archipelago, obviously Tanzania, off the east coast of Africa, and the main town's called Zanzibar as well, even though they've got their own local name for it. I think it's Unguja. And it's a stone town, a historic trade centre with Swahili and Islamic influences. You've got winding lanes that have got minarets, carved doorways, 19th century landmarks. So a little different again, totally different. Sultan's Palace, but beautiful beaches again as well. One thing, again, it's great for. It's considered one of the top diving areas in the world. So if you're into scuba diving or snorkeling, again, fantastic place to go. Mm. So that's just one area that you could think outside the square. And we'll come up with some more in a little while. But I just thought, yeah, if you go to Africa, just think about one of these islands. It might be just tick your box to doing something very different and supporting countries that don't get quite as much tourism, or not just countries, islands, etc., towns, villages, and same on any mainland area. You know, just think outside the square occasion and think, no, I'm going to go to that little village up there.
I'm going to go see 1,000 lemurs.
I'll go and see a million and one lemurs. But I can remember the first time we went to France, if I looked at it on a map, we stayed in an area not much bigger than my fingernail.
Wow.
And we spent a week just in that area, because that's how many villages. We're so used to big, wide open spaces. But you go to Europe and a lot of these other countries, and there's so much crammed into one small area that you don't even need to go to a city.
Yeah.
There's so much to see and do outside. And then you're still back the way they've always lived.
Yeah,
and that's fantastic. What I think is fantastic. Mm, yeah,
we've been talking about less travelled holiday destinations, but you've got one that is quite well travelled.
Oh, I have. So I'm getting off on my off the track of what I was trying to start the year with, aren't I? Yeah. But look, I think this is really important. It's the resurrection of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And I think we all were so devastated when we saw that fire. When was it? 2018?
A while ago, yeah.
I think. But to think even it's been rebuilt, I still find amazing. And I was reading an article on this recently in one of the travel mags, and I thought, oh, I've got to talk about this. And it's such a famous Gothic landmark. And this girl went there with a French friend who said it's never been as white as it was since it was first built. So it's been all the things that have been left that they were able to keep have been restored to that absolute original condition as it would have been when it was first built. And they've actually spent an extraordinary 700 million euros on it, $1.1 billion. So that is just amazing. It's a lot of money, but they got a lot of outside help as well, not from the government, because so many other wealthy people even and contributed to this being rebuilt.
And they got a lot of tourism, so.
Well, they do, and they said it used to attract 12 million annual visitors, and now they're expecting to pull in 15 million. But the French government is thinking about a 5 euro admission just to try and keep not get again too over. You know what I mean? Visited.
Overpopulated.
So they haven't decided on that yet or not. But you can pre-book a time slot on the Notre Dame's official website app, and they release between 10 and 15,000 slots up to 2 days in advance. So you can do that.
You couldn't expect to just go there on the day and get in?
Well, you'd be in a queue for a long time, I would suggest, if you were to do that. Guided tours will start up again, and they're supposed to resume in June. So if you really want to understand what's in the cathedral and do a guided tour, is always worthwhile. Now, it's just, I think when I've read this article, there's just so much I'm just trying to imagine in my head, but they said the luminosity of the columns and the pillars and the arches, you go inside now and it's so light. They've let more light in by the new stained glass. Of course, it's all clean. It's, you know, they're saying it's just absolutely amazing. By the time they got rid of the generations of soot and grime and toxic lead dust that had settled after the blaze, 2019, I think the blaze was, 42,000 square metres of stonework were cleaned. So it's been an incredible,
incredible restoration
when you think about it, because we all thought, oh, gosh, it's not going to be possible. But obviously it is. Even the organ, it was the grand organ, was left miraculously almost untouched by the blaze. 8,000 pipes were dismantled, cleaned, reassembled and returned. And they reckon the acoustics are better than ever now, as you can imagine they would be. And also, like, even the original roof, which was featured iconic features like gargoyles and a 96-metre spire, which collapsed in 2019, but it's been faithfully reconstructed and capped with a surreal new copper statue of the rooster, the national symbol of France.
Oh, wow.
It's the rooster. You come and see Le Coq,
you know. No, I haven't.
C-O-Q, Le Coq, and, okay. and that's, it's a, with a rooster. And you'll often see T-shirts and everything with that on it because that's their national...
I'm glad you spelt that.
I thought you'd say that. So the previous rooster was discovered charred amidst the debris and it's been kept... and you know, so you can see the original, but they've replaced it, of course, with a new one. And also, there's an honours board there for the people who tried to save the Notre Dame from the firefighters who fought the flames. 340,000 donors from France and around the world who raised the close to 900 million euros to repair it. So it's nice that they've got that honour board there as well, which I think would be amazing. So it's just got so much to see and do there because it was built on top of one of the original cities of Paris that goes back to Roman times. So it's a really historical part of Paris. And to go down into the crypts and down below, you know, I'm not sure what it's like now after the fire, but certainly when I did that some years ago now, it was absolutely
amazing.
So if you are going to Paris, you must go and see the new restored Notre Dame. I think that just has to be a definite tick off the bucket list.
Yeah, for sure.
And just briefly, while we were talking about things different, Amanda, as I said, it doesn't have to be the islands off Africa, or it doesn't have to be what I was going to mention, the islands in Central America, but just somewhere that's outside your realm that you've not thought about. You know, just go, even if it's in Australia, if you've never been to outback Queensland, it's famous, that dinosaur way. Every town's got a museum. And one of them, the last dinosaur stampede in this country. And they still haven't, they're still scared. They reckon it's going to be like the Siam warriors. They'll keep unearthing it.
I love dinosaurs, so. Yeah.
So you've Fantastic. Got to do that. Like, yeah. You know, think again, like, where can we go? We don't just have to go to all the landmarks. You know, there's so much out there to see and do, so much history. In every country. But like Central America, I was going to mention, is briefly untouched by us a lot as well because we don't have direct flights there. The same with these islands off Africa. You've got to get to the mainland, then get... So you've got to go via the US generally to get into Central America. But Costa Rica, again, like Madagascar and these other places, considered one of the most biodiverse ecosystems in the world. And they all believe in this eco theme that they're really protecting the whole environment there. We should learn. All the species they've got there that are unique, and we've got unique species, are being saved, are being protected, are being preserved. So you can get to some of these beautiful countries, Panama City, Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, and you can do it as a side trip from America with often quite cheap charter flights or cheap commercial flights that'll get you down into Central America. And again, it's untouched. And again, beautiful beaches. And again, culture, history. That goes way back, you know, way back when all the days of them finding the spices and, you know, you've got a lot of history in these places.
There's something everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah, so just this year I'm thinking for everybody, just try and do something you may not have thought of doing before or you may have thought of and put it to a side, but yeah, do something different. And I'm sure you'll come back and you'll be all hyped up about what you've seen and what you've done.
And then you want to go back again.
Yeah, and you'll think, oh, I've got to do something like that again.
Sounds great. Sally's got some hot deals for us.
I certainly do. And again, I'm starting the year, Mark. I hope you're listening. I'm starting one for Mark, hurdy-gruten, his favourite word. They've got some 2-for-1 or up to 30% off a range of their selected voyages. They consider them the world's most beautiful, and I'd have to agree with that. Up until, it ends very soon, the 14th of February, until sold out. But they've certainly got, as I said, 2-for-1 on selected cruises where your second passenger gets, you know, goes for free. And there's other discounts of up to 30% on a range of their itineraries. So really, that is really worthwhile looking at. And they've also got some other last minute savings that finish on the 28th of February. And these include highlights of Antarctica, which we're just talking about, Pacific Latin America, but that's doing it by cruise. Don't forget you can cruise all these American areas too. Don't forget if you're not up to flying and doing it by land, you could do a cruise. Also, Alaska, British Columbia, Svalbard in the spring, etc. So again, hurdy-gruten have got a lot of lovely discounts available, and just about everyone's got some sort of an early bird discount happening at the moment. Bunnik Tours, which is one of the biggest Australian companies, which is lovely to support Australian companies who do small group touring. They only take a maximum of 20 passengers and all their tours include nearly everything. That's what's so good about it. You've got your airfare included, so you're not having to deal and dial around to try and find out your best airfare to get you there. They do it. It's all part of your package. some lovely itineraries going into Rajasthan and India for 20 days, into Sri Lanka for 17 days. It's a really in-depth tour of Sri Lanka. They do Vietnam, Cambodia, southern India, Japan. They do the whole world, but that's just to give you an idea of a range. So they've got a lot of great tours at the moment, again, with great discounts available.
And with a nice like small group as well. Everyone small kind, group. Of, yeah. kind of, you know, gets changed.
And you make
other,
mates. You often make mates out of it. And you'll often say, hey, would you like to go on a trip next year? And you suddenly start this little travel group where it might be the year after. You might only go every 2 years on a large trip. But like, and then you've got a contact. Because then, oh, I can visit you in Western Australia or visit you here. And, you know, it's great. You do make friends on those sort of trips and they often last a lifetime. You know, I'm still friends with people we met back in Vietnam in 2009, German and Swedish and, you know, et cetera. So it's incredible. Emerald Cruises, they do those wonderful European river cruises like a lot of companies do, of course, but they're nearly all sold out already, but they've still got limited available for 2025 at reduced prices. They do vary the prices depending on the length of cruise you're doing, which is for this year. So they do the Rhone, they do the Danube, they do Eastern Europe, they do Madrid to Lisbon, Paris, Nice, a whole range of river cruises. So get in early if you want to do that. A limited time also, a Travel Marvel have got a highlights of the Danube River cruise that they're doing. This offer ends the 17th of February. And what they're offering you is a complimentary 3-night Munich city stay as part of the package, which is worth $2,200. So that's no mean feat to grab hold of that. But you've only got till the 17th of February. And also Aurora Expeditions have got great discounts, which end on the 31st of March, doing Falklands, South Georgia and the Antarctic. And Viking River Cruises, again, they also have a range of cruises worldwide, both ocean, river. And what they're known for is, we've said before, no children under 18, no umbrella drinks, no photographers, no auctions, no charge to eat at alternative restaurants, no sales pressure, no inside rooms. They're all outside staterooms. Beautiful vessels. And they've got, I think it's up till the end of March, they've got their sale on as well. So just keep that in mind. It's real adult cruising at its best. And again, it's not small ship cruising, but it's not large ship cruising. It's mid-sized ship cruising. Again, beautifully designed vessels with lots of space, very spacious. Yeah, so just keep that in mind as well. So, yeah, that's it for week one.
Oh, wow, not much there. You're done for the year now.
I am, I'm done.
Given us too many places to go to. Well, thank you, Sally. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.